The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a happier, happy hour. Wednesday style, Dom. We're moving on.
Moving on. Move along.
Moving on. Nothing to see here. Dom, here's a intriguing headline. Do you know that Joe Biden was going to take out Donald Trump? Trump World has convinced itself the feds aim to take out Trump. And gaining fame on the right doesn't require being correct. It just requires being alarmist. According to Philip Bump over at the Washington Post.
That is true.
At the end of April, Judge Eileen Cannon unsealed a number of documents related to the investigation into Donald Trump's retention of documents marked as classified after he left the White House yesterday on Icky Vicky show. They were entering into Mar-a-Lago, locked and loaded. And she said specifically, what was the term? They had the right to use deadly force. The FBI came to Mar-a-Lago ready and prepared to use deadly force against Donald Trump, who happened to be in New Jersey. But anyway, setting that aside.
Not going to set that aside. They particularly specifically went there on the day that Trump wasn't there. Kind of goes against the whole want to murder Donald Trump thing.
Well, Dom, within hours, a new line of rhetoric emerged among the former president's most fervent supporters. The whole thing had been a frame-up. Here's why. Julie Kelly, a right-wing writer who specializes in plucking sensational-sounding allegations from legal documents, had plucked a sensational-sounding allegation from the mix. The General Services Administration, she claimed, had stored and shipped materials to Mar-a-Lago that included the marked documents, a discovery she suggested that indicated Trump had been framed, I tell you. These are the boxes that ended up containing papers with classified markings, she claimed on the social medias. But the narrative was not true.
Hang on, Trump, if I may just interject for a moment, I've never heard Trump suggest that that was the case. He said, these are my documents. He said, I've declassified everything. I've never heard Trump say that these were, you know, surreptitiously shipped to me by the feds in order to set me up. But please continue.
The narrative was not true, Dom. The team of folks managing Trump's transition out of the White House leased space from GSA that expired after 6 months. Effectively, his lease was up. So they shipped him his crap out of storage, Dom. At that
his
point,
boxers and, you know, the shirts and stuff.
At that point, all the material from the transition office was sent to Florida, including to Mar-a-Lago. By September of 2021, Trump was in possession of those boxes, months before several boxes were sent back to the National Archives and Records Administration in almost a year before the FBI searched that uncovered more than 100 documents marked as classified. Picking through the court files, Kelly, the aforementioned sensationalist, also claimed that the famous photo of documents on the carpeted Mar-a-Lago floor was a product of an effort to mislead the public. As Philip Bump points out, this too was incorrect. On Tuesday, Cannon unsealed a new tranche of documents in the Florida case, being prosecuted by special counsel Jack Smith and being delayed by Cannon, he writes in parentheticals. And there was Kelly, picking out details of the FBI documents preparing for the search and casting them in a remarkable light. They showed not standard operating procedure, but instead that federal law enforcement was ready to draw their weapons on the former president. A shootout at the Mar-a-Lago Corral, if you will, Dom.
Well, only if he made a sudden move to his waistband.
Armed FBI agents were prepared to confront Trump and even engage Secret Service if necessary, she wrote on the social media, following a post quoting a filing from the legal team in which the FBI's authorization to use deadly force was noted. They were going to go door to door to terrorize Mar-a-Lago arrest and even pick the locks. Gestapo! Later, she shared a document titled Policy Statement Use of Deadly Force. Even just Kelly's summation of the confrontation is misleading. The linked document notes that if Trump, the former president of the United States, should show up during the search, he was known to be at his home in New Jersey, which was one reason the search occurred when it did. The staff from the FBI and the special counsel's office will be prepared to engage with the former POTUS and his Secret Service team. So they pew, even had... Pew, pew. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what kind of engagement right, are we talking about here?
You tell the people, Dom.
Kelly's presentation of engage, quote-unquote, here, is in the military engage the enemy sense. The obvious interpretation, however, is that the unexpected arrival of the former president was a contingency for which the Bureau needed to be prepared. This document is titled Contingencies, you know, contingent, and that the plan was simply for the FBI and special counsel team to deal with it. If additionally the Secret Service made the search difficult, the FBI would engage with the Secret Service, quote, per existing liaison relationships, unquote. This is phone call engagement, not bang bang engagement. In a statement,
it could be.
You can only hope. In a statement, the FBI noted that it, quote, followed standard protocol in this search as we do for all search warrants, which includes a standard policy statement limiting the use of deadly force, unquote. That point is important. The deadly force document shared by Kelly constrains how and when firearms might be used. Kelly wrote that it showed how the FBI risked the lives of Donald Trump, his family, staff, and Mar-a-Lago guests for a publicity stunt to make it look like Trump stole national security files. Quick fact check, he did. Thanks to her repeated willingness to make sweeping, unsubstantiated allegations of dire malfeasance to an audience utterly uninterested in the validity of those allegations, Kelly has amassed a large audience on social media. So the, quote, the feds wanted to kill Trump story quickly took off.
Well,
I got to tell you.
Didn't the feds want to kill Trump? Doesn't Joe Biden want to take out Trump? Shouldn't that be on the news or something?
Someone like Kelly here, whose repeated willingness to make sweeping, unsubstantiated allegations of dire malfeasance and to an audience utterly uninterested in the validity of those allegations. Hell, she should run for president. The right-wing blog Federalist wrote a story about it. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene shared Kelly's allegation, asking if the FBI was going to shoot SS, then-President Trump, Melania, and Barron, too? Question mark, question mark, question mark? Well, I mean, what is this, like the Russian Empire? They're getting rid of the whole family? When Trump himself posted the allegation on Truth Social, Greene took credit for tipping him off that the Biden DOJ and FBI were planning to assassinate President Trump and gave the green light. And by Crudy, by Thursday evening, as all good Trumpsters do, he was fundraising off of it.
Well, we brought that to light because, Dom, I was receiving those fundraising emails and the ones from court yesterday.
Go ahead, man.
Nothing.
No, on the Foxies. Host Jesse Waters, the replacement Tucker Carlson, who replaced Bill O'Reilly? Heck, hard to say. Had no qualms about picking up the story. Hell no, man. We love this stuff. Quote, they're saying Trump's going to unleash assassination squads on his enemies, Waters said. But Biden unleashed armed agents into Trump's house, authorizing them to use deadly force. He continued to suggest that the FBI agents conducting the search perhaps wore plain clothes, not to reduce the visibility of their hunt for documents, but because maybe they were looking for a little action.
That's what I do. I put on clothes and I go looking for a little action.
Looking for a little action, hoping the Secret Service would prompt a confrontation. Hours later, well after the Kelly-driven narrative had been demonstrated to be unfounded, Foxy host Maria Bartiromo hosted a panel that marveled at President Biden, quickly positioned by Trump supporters as the real driving actor here, authorizing, quote, authorizing the FBI, if it came to that, and he resisted arrest, to kill Donald Trump, as she put it. And Crudy, as mentioned before the break last time, if the presidency, and apparently you have to have immunity, absolute immunity, presidential immunity, if that's the position, what's the problem? Couldn't Biden do that if he wanted to?
Only under the logic that Trump argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. We haven't heard back from, you know, Alito, the upside down flag guy yet on that case.
Oh, Alito's got another flag. We'll get to that as well. Again, Philip Bump at the Post. The idea that opposition to Trump is so fervent among his opponents that they want to see him dead is not new. In a conversation last year, Carlson suggested this possibility to Trump directly. Former president replied that it's the savage animals who are targeting him are people that are sick. It's an appealing bit of rhetoric in that it frames the left as deranged and bloodthirsty, and it reinforces a sense of victimization, thus undergirding Trump's 2024 campaign. To an objective observer, it's self-evidently ludicrous. It is a feature of the modern age that people pursue large sets of documents or data and pluck out things that they then misinterpret. Few, however, have Julie Kelly's combination of audience, devotion to Trump, and shamelessness. The result is that her dishonest or incorrect assessments of important issues drive news coverage and spur the claims made by the former president.
There's time. Don't have it in you, Dom.
All right, we'll wrap this up.
There was another post she offered Tuesday that was not attention-grabbing. She noted the new documents, again noted the transfer of material to Florida in September of 2021. Who knows if some of the classified docs seized during FBI raid were contained in the GSA-packed boxes, she mused. The answer is she did, back in April, at least according to her initial thread on social media that went viral then. It's almost as if her sensational claims don't hold up over time. Perhaps her allies might be more cautious in elevating them. We don't elevate lies. Dom can barely keep his eyelids open some days.
I mean, come on, you guys. 844-967-2789. It's a happy hour. Come back with us.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Lines are open 844-967-2789. Crudy, this whole narrative that Joe Biden wanted to assassinate Donald Trump and they did this whole Mar-a-Lago raid in an effort, hopefully, plainclothes FBI agents, maybe to, you know, pick a fight with the Secret Service, and perhaps Donald Trump will get shot in the crossfire. I guess if you believe the conspiracies of the far right. The FBI, according to Axios, did respond. We read a little bit of it. Here's a little bit more. Quote, here we go, from Axios. The statement was in response to a Truth Social post from Trump earlier in the day that inflamed his conservative allies and included misleading claims about President Biden's Justice Department. The quote. The FBI followed standard protocol in this search, as we do for all search warrants, which includes a standard policy statement limiting the use of deadly force. No one ordered additional steps to be taken, and there was no departure from the norm in this matter.
You wouldn't have known it from the Trump fundraising missive I read on the air yesterday, the little email he sent me. Locked and loaded, he was claiming.
Locked and loaded. Former FBI assistant in charge, Steve D'Antonio, testified before Congress last year, saying it wasn't even a show of force because we were all in agreement. We made sure we interacted with the Secret Service to make sure we could go into Mar-a-Lago with no issues. We're not banging down any doors. We weren't bringing any like FBI vehicles. Everything that was reported about helicopters and 100 people descending on, like a Die Hard movie, was completely untrue. That's not how we play it. Even for a search warrant, deadly force is always authorized if the required threat presents itself. Every FBI operations order contains a reminder of FBI deadly force policy. A former assistant director of counterintelligence, Frank Figluzzi, wrote on the platform X. So this is what standard operating procedure, apparently. And now this is what now this is the seed that's being planted by the far right. Oh, those crazy lunatic lefties wanted to murder our guy. We must protect him. And this is just asinine, you guys. This happens every single time the FBI does a raid. Every time. Standard operating procedure. You know, SOP. Called a SOP. You're SOPs. Are you kidding me? This is where they go. And elected officials, these sycophant mega cult whack jobs, throw this out. They're like, oh, this is a conspiracy. That's what this is. It's just asinine. I can't even believe that we got to talk about this.
Have they never seen a Cops episode? Bad boys. What you gonna do? 844-967-2789. So I'm gonna put you down in the disbeliever column, Dom.
I believe that there are standard operating procedures that the folks, the law enforcement use. You know, and for all of the back the badge crap I hear from the right, what about that?
Well, they mean kicking down some drug dealer store, not Trump's.
No, not
coming in and taking nuclear secrets out of the guest bathroom at Mar-a-Lago.
And apparently, four months after the search, they found more stuff in his bedroom.
What? Well, in the bedroom closet, you know, where you keep your best secrets.
I mean, come on. Problematic? I think so.
Dom, you realize that trial was supposed to happen starting this week. The Cannon trial, the documents trial.
Yeah.
Supposed to happen this week. I did find a little coverage. Trump lawyer meltdown revealed in newly unsealed Mar-a-Lago documents. Let's cherry pick like the right does, Dom. Yeah. Travis Getty's over at the aggregator, the Raw Story, one of my favored newly released grand jury transcripts show Donald Trump's attorney in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case refused to answer questions about his client during a contentious exchange. Is that good? Timothy Parlatore. I was deciding how I was going to pronounce that in real time.
Trying to figure out how to butcher his name properly.
Who quit the case shortly after Trump was indicted last year, accused a Department of Justice lawyer of not following the rules of attorney-client privilege, setting off a tense dialogue shown in court records unsealed by federal Judge Eileen Cannon. You know what I think of her, Dom, and reported by Newsweek. Are we really doing this? Parlatore said, and another DOJ attorney interrupted and reminded Trump's attorney, he's a witness and shouldn't be asking questions. Sounds a lot like the Costello sort, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The grand jury ultimately handed up an indictment against Trump on 40 federal counts related to his mishandling of the sensitive government documents stashed at his private resort in Palm Beach, Florida. After leaving the White House in January of 2021, Parlatore testified before a grand jury on December 22nd, 2022, at a federal courthouse in D.C. It's privilege, which is something she knows if it's something that every attorney does know, Parlatore told investigators. DOJ lawyers Julie Edelstein, Brett Reynolds, and Annie McNamara questioned Parlatore, asking the attorney why Trump had not allowed him to discuss their conversations if he was cooperating with their investigation. The question you just asked seems to indicate that for somebody to be cooperative, they should waive their attorney-client privilege, which is absolutely wrong. Apparently, he's not cooperating. Edelstein told him that she was not asking him to waive attorney-client privilege, but said she was obligated to ask about their discussions of the matter. Do you understand that's not something that should even be suggested, Parlatore said. Reynolds intervenes and reminds Parlatori he was a witness, and Edelstein steps in and adds she has asked him a question, which Parlatori again says is improper, but she explains her obligation. You made a representation to this grand jury about what was said at the meeting, and I asked you the basis of that representation. Parlatori again said the question is improper, adding she cannot ask what the former president had said to him, and his testimony ends in a short time later, both sides thanking one another.
Thank you.
Parlatori said, and I apologize if some of the answers were a little bit more convoluted just because of the weird dynamic here, but I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. At least they're polite while Rome is burning.
I have never thanked anyone after cross-examination. If I've given grand jury testimony, and you'll never know, Dom, I never thanked him afterwards. And you'll thank me. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Trust me, Dom. You didn't want me thanking him.
Thank you, Michael.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday Happier Happy Hour, rolling through it. Dom, my favorite saying this week, bleach blonde, bad built, butch body, describing your girl MTG, right?
You owe somebody some money. For saying that, Curdy. I think that's a protected phrase.
Representative Jasmine Crockett said that, and I think she's working on a trademark. Well, Dom, I don't know if you know, but in the GOP House, details of Trump's trial are an unfair personal attack, and words have been stricken from the record because someone's enumerating the alleged crimes. A candidate for president of the United States is on trial for allegedly facilitating a hush money payment to a porn star to avoid a sex scandal during his 2016 campaign. Maybe you heard this story. And then fraudulently disguising those payments in violation of the law. He is also charged with conspiring to overturn the 2020 presidential election. He's also charged with willful retention of classified information, and a jury has already found him liable for rape in a civil court. As you probably know, Dom, those statements applied to Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee on November's presidential ballot. There are also statements that, with only slight changes, were deemed unfair personal attacks by House Republicans and removed from the record of debate on Wednesday afternoon. Rep. Jim McGovern, a Dem from Massachusetts, rose on the House floor to challenge having been admonished for saying Trump had been indicted by a grand jury and is on trial. He made a parliamentary inquiry, point of parliamentary procedure, about the admonishment. That is, he asked the Speaker Pro Tem Jerry L. Carl, Republican from Alabama, Dom, for clarification on the rules of debate. Specifically, has the chair determined that it's unparliamentary to state a fact? You could also say bleach blonde, bad built, butch body and be stating a fact, Dom. Carl was handed a note suggesting that McGovern's question was anticipated. The chair is not in a position to determine the veracity of remarks made on the floor. He replied, as a member facilitating debate at the time, members must avoid personalities. Isn't that how they admonished the whole row that happened the other night? Apparently people drinking in the House,
getting a little rowdy. After supporting their guy in New York, coming back on the red eye, a little lit up and getting rowdy with the bleach blonde, bad butch body.
Something like that. McGovern, the Democrat from Massachusetts, declared this to be unbelievable. Personalities is another one of those terms that has a specific meaning in the context of the House. It comes from a longstanding rule governing debate in the chamber, including the rules adopted for the 118th Congress. Remarks in debate, which may include references to the Senate or its members, rule. and it's in Roman numerals, so I'm doing the math. 17, section 1B states, shall be confined to the question under debate, avoiding personality. And avoiding personality means simply not making personal attacks on your peers. The intent is to foster collegiality, to keep members of Congress from attacking other representatives, senators, or the president. In this way, decorum might be maintained and intrapersonal disparagements limited. But Trump is not a representative, senator, or president. He is a private citizen, at least at the moment, and there are broad protections granted to members of Congress under the Constitution's speech and debate clause. That clause protects sitting legislators from lawsuits or defamation, among other things, specifically to allow them to speak freely. I'm with McGovern. McGovern has broad impunity for his comments when speaking from the House floor, except, it seems, from rebuke by the Republican majority.
Ain't that the truth? The Hill's got a little bit on this as well. Carl, the Republican, said this, quote, although remarks in debate may include criticism of such candidate's official position as a candidate, it is a breach of order to refer to the candidate in terms of potentially offensive, whether by actually accusing or by merely insulting. The acquisition that the president has committed a crime or even that the president has done something illegal is not in order. And I would push back on Republican Carl because nobody's talking about Biden. They're talking about the orange mega cult leader who's been sitting his ass in a very cold New York courthouse for the last 20 days. The chair's ruling bars McGovern from speaking on the horse for the rest of the remainder of the day. He had to go sit in a corner, Crudy. Here is what he had to say on McGovern's response. They can get around. They say, you know, characterize the trial as a sham and that the judge is corrupt and the jury is rigged. That's perfectly fine. They never get admonished for saying that. And I said what I said, which is everything is factual. I didn't characterize. I didn't say he was guilty of anything, an incredulous McGovern said shortly after the incident. It must have hit a nerve. And they moved to take my words down and basically canceled me or silenced me for the rest of the day. He told reporters, there's nothing I said that I regret.
Dom, I've got a little more of the quote from McGovern. These are not alternative facts. Nah. These are real facts. A candidate for the United States is on trial for sending a hush money payment to a porn star to avoid a sex scandal during his 2016 campaign and then fraudulently disguising these payments in violation of the law. We can split hairs here. The payment was sent by his attorney, Michael Cohen, and Trump is innocent until proven guilty, so we use the word allegedly, but on trial for serves a similar purpose, and allegations made otherwise comport with his articulation. A little more of the quote, Dom. He's also charged with conspiring to overturn the election. McGovern continued. He's also charged with stealing classified information. Now, the columnist here clarifies the latter claim is a stretch. Trump isn't charged with stealing or theft, but instead with willfully retaining documents, you know, trying to get all the words positive here.
I didn't steal it when I took it, but I kept it when they wanted it back.
Well, let's just say Michael Cohen willfully retained about 60 grand of Trump's money. Willfully retaining documents in his possession. It's a difference between you picking my pocket and you running off with my wallet instead of returning it after I asked you to hold it for a moment. McGovern added that a jury has already found him liable for rape in a civil court.
True. And
yeah, that part's true.
Factual.
It was about this point in McGovern's soliloquy that Rep. Aaron Hoochin, Republican from Indiana, Hoochin, H-O-U-C-H-I-N, Hoochin, that's what I'm calling him, demanded his comments be stricken from the record. Now, Carl stated that the words would be taken down and told McGovern, sit down. Sit down, Dom. Sit down indeed.
You eyeballing me? You side-eyeing me?
What say you, Dom? Can't talk about Trump's tribulations on the House floor, but you can talk all about, what, Hunter Biden? You see, there is
you can show junk pics of Hunter Biden on the floor, and that's okay. That you're talking about decorum, right? You can talk about this trial being a sham and the judge is corrupt and all these other things, as the Democrat McGovern points out here. That's all fine. But boy, you get too close to the orange leader, man, they will get in line against you. Hell, Nikki Haley is endorsing Donald Trump today.
Isn't everybody? 844-967-2789. I suspect I got one guy who is. CJ, welcome back.
Hey, CJ.
Oh.
Hello. Uh-oh.
He's playing the hold game with us.
Yeah. Oh, we tried, man. Sorry.
Too bad. Oh no, CJ today. Blew his opportunity. That's so sad.
You know, you snooze, you lose. You know, they say the early bird gets the worm, but I always like to say the second mouse gets the cheese.
Is that what you like to say, Dom?
844-967-2789.
I leave the worms for Robert Kennedy's brain. I'll fight you for that cheese, though. Never did get no cherry pie around here.
Oh, man. See, what's happening? What's happening? The Supreme Court, man. The U.S. Supreme Court. It's not just the one flag. Apparently, there's more flags.
Alito's got multiple flags.
He's the very flaggy guy. He likes his flags. And my wife texts this one to me. Thank you, Steffi.
Oh, real quick before you do that, I just got a little note here. Best CJ call ever.
You know, honestly, it was the most articulate and pointed conversation I think we've ever had. It made the most sense.
Sorry, CJ, you blew it. He's back in the queue. No, you blew it. You got to get in line for tomorrow. 844-967-2789. Your wife sent you one, but let's grab Gary real quick.
All right, real quick.
We'll savor this one.
Hey, Gary, welcome. What do you got?
How you doing, fella?
Hey, guys. Well, since CJ hung up on you guys and showed you guys disrespect, I decided I'll call up and I'll give you some respect.
Respect my authority, Gary.
Hey, there's a lot of respect here. I like you guys. You guys have always been nice to me. Well, not always, but most of the time.
Also a true statement, but go ahead, Gary.
There was a couple times you called me a whiny little bee. And that really
I've called lots of people whiny little bitch, Gary.
So I took a year off.
But you're back.
I decided to come back.
You're back, man. You got to have more. So what's your thought today, Gary?
Time heals all butt hurt, Gary.
Yeah, I know. But, okay. No, you know, I know you guys have been going back and forth with, you know, what's right, what's wrong with the, you know, the testimonies and Michael Cohen and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But let's just go down. What do you really think that's going to happen? Not what you want, but what do you think is going to happen? Is he
hung jury
guilty or not guilty?
Hung jury.
So then they're going to retry him then?
Could be a retrial, but it's not going to happen between now and Election Day, Gary. I think he's going to have a hung jury and he's going to claim exoneration. Now, that's
Gary,
the pessimist.
Hang on, if I may. I think he's convicted in 2 days, maybe three. We could have a conviction by next week, Friday, Gary.
All right. I will bet you guys lunch or dinner.
But we're taking both sides of the action, Gary.
Yeah, who are you betting, man?
I'm betting Dom.
Oh!
Mike agrees with me, so I'm betting Dom. Now, Dom, are you in Madison now, or are you living in Milwaukee yet?
I'm still Milwaukee, but, you know, the wonders of technology, Gary, I can do this job anywhere.
Okay, so you and me, I'll bet you lunch or dinner or whatever, you know, just the two of us, that he is not convicted, and you're saying he is.
Hey, are we going to get like one shake and two straws, or how are we going to do this, Gary? Can I bring my wife along?
You got to wait till the Brewers score a lot of runs. You're taking them to George Webb or something, Gary?
Hey, Mike, if you were closer, I'm not going to go all the way out to Madison. You know, that's ridiculous.
I got to come to you to get fed.
Do you think they failed in your position? You agree with Michael, hung jury, not guilty, something along those lines. Do you think that the prosecution failed to prove the case? Do you think Donald Trump did anything wrong in this endeavor?
I think Donald Trump, if he went on the stand, they would crucify him. So the fact is, I think he's going to have to lie through his lost little teeth. He gets You get some scum-sucking lawyers that are going to go out there and lie for you. There's a lot of things that Donald Trump has done, but for them to go after him for this, and they cannot prove it. And if they, I don't even know if he admitted that he had sex with her. I don't think he even admitted that, did he?
He strongly denies it, Gary, so it must be true.
So do you reimburse your lawyer for, double or triple what you, for the porn star for not having sex, Gary? I mean, does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
The whole thing stinks as far as
I'm concerned. Yeah, it does. It really what about the J6? Would you want to see that trial come to conclusion before the election?
Wait, I didn't hear you. What?
J6.
The January 6th trial, the insurrection trial in D.C. Would you like to see that one come up before the election?
Yeah. I really don't care. He's going to walk from that one, too, because I heard him say, go to the Capitol, but do it peacefully. They'll never convict him on that one, ever. Nothing.
Gary, that's where we part company.
Yeah.
That's the only trial.
I also heard Hannibal Lecter say, I got to go have lunch with a friend. 844-967-2789.
You going to tell me about the Alito flag?
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you have something to say, hit us up on the lines, talk or text 844-967-2789. Gary, to put a bow on it, I accept. I'll tell you, man, I drink my dinner, brother, so it might be more than a burger you're looking for.
You'd be drinking it through a straw when I'm done with you, duh. I got a couple of the texters. Just want to throw them out there before I forget to look, like you often forget to look. Andrew from Verona, Texan. The Cheeto Messiah is a couple of Big Macs away from the big one. If the feds wanted him gone, just send him some McDonald's coupons. That one hits close to home for me, actually. Yeah.
That's why it's funny, because it's true.
Another WMDX texter says, according to them, Joe would have immunity if he ordered Trump's murder. Dana from La Crosse says the whole episode about the president getting shot is some hilarious stuff. Let's just say, Dana, for radio's sake. Some texters saying MAGAs are so foolish. And here is sort of a theme I've seen once or twice, Dom. If the FBI was sent to assassinate Trump, why is he still alive?
Interesting point.
Sorry, I keep interrupting. What was the one you wanted to make, Dom?
They fail at their job. The deep state can't trust them. The New York Times reporting. Another provocative flag was flown at another Alito home. The Justice's beach house displayed an appeal to heaven flag.
Alito's got a beach house?
A symbol carried on January 6th and associated with a push for more Christian-minded government.
That's the pine tree flag?
That's the pine tree flag. Last summer, 2 years after the upside-down American flag was flown outside the Virginia home of Alito, another provocative symbol was displayed as vacation home in Jersey. This time, it was the appeal to heaven flag.
He's got a vacation home on the Jersey Shore. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Jersey Shore, is he out there? Do you remember that show?
It doesn't say Jersey Shore, man. I want to put words in the mouth, but the situation's got something to say about it. This time, it was the appeal to heaven flag, which, like the inverted U.S. flag, was carried by rioters at the Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Also known as the pine tree flag, it dates back to the Revolutionary War, but largely fell into obscurity till recent years and is now a symbol of support for former President Donald J. Trump, for a religious strand of the Stop the Steal campaign, and for a push to remake American government in Christian terms. Jumping down into the body of this piece, judges are not supposed to give any impression of bias, yet the flag could be seen as telegraphing the Alito's views. And at a time when justices were on the cusp of adopting new ethics code, a quote from Charles Guy, a law professor at Indiana University, we all have our biases, but the good judge fights against them. When a judge celebrates his predispositions by hoisting them on a flag, that's deeply disturbing. Just a little bit more here as well. This same flag flies outside, according to the New York Times, the office of Speaker Mike Johnson. Since its creation during the American Revolution, the flag has carried a message of defiance. The phrase, appeal to heaven, comes from the 17th century philosopher John Locke, who wrote of a responsibility to rebel, even use violence to overthrow unjust rule. It's a paraphrase for trial by arms. Anthony Grafton, a historian at Princeton University, said in an interview, the main point is that there's no appeal. There's no one else you can ask for help or a judgment. Yeah, that's the flag flying outside the vacation home of Alito. On January 6th, the appeal to heaven flag was prominent at the Washington Monument, where throngs gathered to hear President Trump deliver a speech contesting the election results, and later above the angry mob that surrounded the Capitol. The flag was visible above clashes with law enforcement on the building's west terrace as rioters breached police lines underneath the scaffolding set up for President Biden's inauguration, and finally, inside the building. By that day, scholars say the flag had become popular enough to sometimes be used by a few other groups, including militia members. But most often, they said it's tied directly to Mr. Sheets. This is the guy who's been really pushing this flag. I'm not going to get into it. It's on the NewYorkTimes.com. Just think of this as another flag, another, I call it rebellion, an appeal to heaven. It's a paraphrase for trial by arms. What did Rudy Giuliani say? Trial by combat, baby. That's what this guy's flying. And now, apparently, according to the Raw story, the ethics czar for George W. Bush, who helped Alito prepare for his Senate confirmation hearing, now apparently he's furious and wants him recused from any case involving January 6th.
Here's my question. How long until Alito blames it on Mrs. Alito?
Mrs. Alito, man. These women, man, I gotta tell you, these men, better get their women in line.
Well, Mrs. Alito, or as he likes to call her when they're vacationing out at the Jersey Shore, Snooky.
Oh, terrible, man.
CJ, you get one last minute. No, you don't. Just kidding. Reggie's doing that for our entertainment, CJ. Just taunting you a little bit.
I am entertained. Hey, man, you had an opportunity. When the Devil's Advocate takes your call, bro, you got to be there, man.
Doesn't matter if you've been waiting 2 hours. 2 hours and 1 minute could be the proper amount of time. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope you listen tomorrow. Hope we do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow, right?
It's a holiday weekend. So are we doing a show tomorrow? Let's do it
tomorrow. Tomorrow's just Thursday.
Okay. All right.
It's Friday Eve. We'll commit to Thursday. See you on the radio, everyone. Thank you, Rich, for your hard work. Thank you, Dom, for whatever it is you do around here.